Radio Africana,
your non-stop entertainment radio.
Morning, top of the morning to all our listeners. Yes, you're tuned in to Radio Africana and this is Morning Dew. Hope you've all had a lovely week. Once again, it's a pleasure to be here with you this Sunday morning. What a wonderful day it is. It's a day that the Lord has made. Let's just commit our session to the Lord. Lovely track there. One thing I know, God will work it out. Father, we thank you for the privilege that is today. Thank you for the miracle of sleeping and waking. Thank you for the salvation of our souls. Thank you for every listener that's tuned in today. Thank you, Lord, for the things that only you can do, and we know you will work out in our lives. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We always want to remember those who, for one reason or the other, cannot be with us today. today. Lord, wherever they are, whatever they're going through, I pray, Lord, that you will grant them their heart's desire. You will be the God in the midst of your people, mighty and a strong warrior, to take them through, to restore, to deliver, to heal, and to set the captives free. This we ask of you and we thank you. Lord, we commit today's session unto you. We ask, Lord, that you will help us. We ask for the presence of your Spirit to guide and instruct us concerning the gleaning of the scriptures that we'll be doing together. Lord, bring us to a place where our hearts will be able to understand. Give us eyes that see and ears that hear. And at the end of it, may we give it to give you all the praise and all the glory. This we ask of you and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Good morning, lovely people, and welcome again. Right, so another edition of our program here. For a couple of weeks, we've been looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus. We did spend quite some time with some homework on understanding covenants and why that's important when it comes to authority and power. And we asked a couple of questions, you know, throughout the series. What's the definition of a covenant? What's a biblical covenant? You know, just to give us some understanding. So we've come this far, and today we want to look at what it means to be in a covenant relationship. Okay, what it means to be in a covenant relationship. And so to do that, I just want to recap some of the things we looked at last week to take us in. Right, so we were looking at the Davidic covenant. We had looked at the, I think, four more before that. Noah, Abraham, you know, and Moses. Yes, we had Noah, Abraham, and Moses in a covenant with God. Then we looked at the Davidic covenants. This is David in covenant with God. I did give us some examples in 2 Samuel chapter 7, I believe it was. Yes, 2 Samuel chapter 7, from verses 1 to 11. Give us some real insight into what David understood and some of the dynamics in his covenant relationship with God. We also see in some of the Psalms he's written. We looked at Psalm 72, verses 1 to 13. We also looked at Psalm 89, I believe. Psalm 89, for those of you taking notes, from 1 to 7. So these Psalms really explain in some great detail, you know, some of the dynamics as well as the relationship that David had in his covenant relationship with God. And we also had Psalm 132. From verses 1 to 18. I like to read that one. Lord, remember, Psalm 132 from verses 1 to 18. It says, Lord, remember David and all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and an habitation for the mighty God of Jacob. So this was just his demonstration of how important it was to be in this covenant relationship. It says, lo, we heard of it at Ephrathah, and we found it in the fields of the wood, and we will go into his tabernacle, and we will worship at his footstool. Arise, O Lord, unto thy rest, thou and the ark of thy strength. Let the priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away thy face, the face of thy anointed. Now the Lord has sworn in truth unto David, and he will not turn from it. And of a fruit of the body will I set upon the throne. So he was given a kind of covenant promise here, that of the fruit of thy body will I set upon the throne. And if thy children will keep my covenant and testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forever. So this is God promising to give the descendants of David, okay, you know, access to the lineage. That's it, the lineage through which the Messiah was going to come. So it was a covenant promise, and the Lord said it would be with the generations as long as they understood and followed this covenant. Now this is my rest forever, here will I dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. So you can see some more terms in this covenant promise here. There will I make the horn of David to bud, and I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, but upon himself shall his throne flourish. So, and again, it gives a little detail into what was the covenant that David had with the Lord, you know, and how that has come down. So in looking at all of this, it just shows us through these different covenants that the Lord had with different people in the Old Testament, starting with Noah and Abraham, then Moses, okay, and now we're looking at David, and it comes into the new covenant. Okay, so David and his descendants must remain faithful to God, following his covenant laws. However, despite David and his son's failures, there's always the frailty of human being. God keeps his promise to provide a faithful descendant of David to reign. And all these covenants, okay, that we've been studying, build on one another. And after God's covenant with David, as we as readers now, the Bible says, with the benefit of hindsight, these things are written for our learning, so that we learn from them. We are left waiting for the great deliverer, the Messiah, from David's lineage, as described, explained in detail in the covenant. Okay, and who will make right the fractured relationship that began in the garden. So, you know, we said earlier in our teaching sessions here that this covenant is a God initiative trying to establish a relationship with his people, and he kept coming back from one generation to another generation, establishing one covenant, you know, going into deeper depth as to what he desired to have in terms of relationship with his people. So the new covenant, for generations Israel ignored the terms of their covenant with Yahweh, breaking commands and living by their own definitions of good and evil. Amidst rebellion and exile, the Hebrews prophet spoke of a new covenant, saying God would one day fulfill all of his promises, repairing his relationship with his people and blessing the nations through them, you know. And so we see different prophetic declarations, you know. One of them is in Jeremiah 31 and verses 31 to 34. So this is one of the prophetic declarations that there will be an ultimate, you know, superior covenant. And it says in Jeremiah 31 verses 31 to 34, behold, the days come, said the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So a new covenant, that is in spite of the ones that have been established, not according to the covenants that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand, bringing them out of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, you know. Although I was a husband unto them, said the Lord, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, said the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they will be my people. So that's the depth of this particular covenant. It's talking about the Lord was not going to have any commandments written on stones. He was going to inscribe his laws in their hearts, and they shall teach no more, okay, every man his neighbor, nor everyone his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, said the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more. So, you know, this is the prophetic declaration of this ultimate covenant that the Lord was going to establish. Now, this new covenant is to be an everlasting covenant, and God said he will write his laws on the hearts of his people, bringing a complete forgiveness of sins and raise up a faithful king from the line of David, who will restore all that have been broken. The anticipation of this covenant pushes the story forward into the pages of the New Testament, where we are introduced into Jesus. The personality is the word that became flesh. Right, so you notice that the covenants progressively built up as we've been studying on one another and forming a complete redemptive storyline, God's redemptive plan for his people. God preserved the world through Noah. He initiated redemption through Abraham. He established the nation of Israel through Moses. He promised an eternal shepherd king through David, and then fulfilled all of his covenants through Jesus. So you can see the progression there. So each one of those covenants, that's what God was doing as far as his redemptive program or package for his people or for humanity is concerned. So with each covenant, God promises and plans to save the world through the seed of the woman, okay, which was also said, we saw that in Genesis at the beginning, okay, and that becomes clearer and clearer until we finally see the redemption can only come through King Jesus. So Jesus is the covenantal climax, okay, so he's the ultimate covenant, he's the most superior covenant. This New Testament presents Jesus as the offspring of Abraham, who trusted Yahweh even to the point of death, and he became a blessing, you know, to all the nations. He is greater than Moses, leading us out of bondage. He is an obedient Israelite who perfectly follows the laws of God. He is the royal son of David, who inaugurated God's kingdom in his life, death, and resurrection. So he's the initiator, the one who inaugurates the kingdom of God, you know, and who now sits at God's right hand, forever reigning as the one true king. Right, so we see that Jesus perfectly, you know, succeeded at every point where humanity failed. So that's why he's the, you know, savior of the world. He's the guarantor, he's the mediator of this new and better covenant. Okay, so let's look at a couple of scriptures that will help us verify and justify some of what we're talking about here. We'll also look at Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 22. Right, Hebrews 7 verse 22. Trying to get my notes together. Say, by so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. So you need to read what happened in the earlier parts of Hebrews chapter 7, but it's just making us understand that by all of these points raised, okay, earlier in Hebrews chapter 7, he has now become the surety of a better covenant. So it's a better covenant, it's a superior covenant, it has much better promises, and the one who God is having the covenant with, you know, as you know, fulfilled all the righteous requirements of God's justice. So things that were not, you know, fully met, they were not completed, but we have the ultimate sacrifice, the penultimate person who has obeyed and met all his regulations. All of humanity could not meet that requirement, but behold, the Lamb of God that was slain, the Bible says, from before the foundation of the world, and he's come, and he's the one who is doing that. Now, Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, it says, and for this reason he is the mediator of a new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. All right, so he is the one to deliver the promise of inheritance. The Bible says God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son. He is the penultimate sacrifice. He's paid all the price that needs to be paid. He's won the victory on the cross, and so by virtue of him satisfying all that's required, he becomes the mediator of a superior covenant. And so when we're talking about covenants, we looked at the promises, we looked at the inheritance you have and all of that. And then when we talk about the authority, the name, you know, that is in the authority and power in the name of Jesus, you can understand where this was all coming through those covenant arrangements, through the different generations, and ultimately now God is giving that authority, okay, through his son to the body of Christ. So we have authority in that name, and we have access to power through that name. And there's something we'll try and be looking in more detail in the next few sessions that we have, you know, and we'll try and go into more detail looking at definitions for authority and power. We'll take a break right now, and we'll come back and then see how much we can push into this session looking at the authority and power in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Good morning. If you're joining us, yes, we just had a break. You're tuned into Radio Africana. This is Morning Dew. Yeah, we just had a break. We're looking at our central topic, the power and authority in the name of Jesus. So we had come through a long journey understanding covenants, and we're looking at the climax of all the covenantal relationships that God had with human beings over generations, from one generation to another, starting with Noah, Abraham, Moses, down to David, and then ultimately Jesus. So now this brings us to one of the questions that we were trying to answer at the beginning. We posed a lot of questions we want to answer in the course of our sessions and our series, and basically what qualifies us to come into a covenant relationship with Jesus, right? So what is the qualification? And we can see from what we read in Hebrews chapter 7 verse 22, okay, so much as Jesus has been made a surety of a better covenant, so he's been made the surety, the guarantor. Okay, and then Hebrews chapter 9 15 says, and for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, okay, that by means of death, all right, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament or the old testament, okay, they will be called mighty, receive the promises of eternal life. All right, they will be called might. They who are called might be received the promise of eternal life. So us coming into this covenant relationship, we are called to receive the promise of eternal life. For God so loved his world, he gave his only begotten son. So now what that does, now people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue who trust in Jesus can become a part of God's family. That's what this is doing. All right, so it's opened up to everyone who believes and everyone who confesses Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They can become part of God's covenant and become members of the covenant family. In the new covenant, we receive the forgiveness of sins, okay, and God's empowering spirit to help us live lives full and of, you know, self-giving love. All right, very interesting, to live our lives to the fullness, okay, of self-giving love. So we've come in contact with the personality that is love, right? God is love, and he's given his only begotten son, demonstrating his love. And so not only are we in that covenant relationship, but we're able to be able to, you know, give that, distribute that, transmit that to anyone who comes in contact with us, right? And so that's one of the proof that you're in a covenant relationship. You know, God is love, and whoever does not love does not know God. That's what the Bible says. All right, so that's important. So remember, we're trying what qualifies us. So if we just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and accept him as our Lord and Savior, then we have the access to forgiveness of our sins and our transgressions. Because of Jesus, we have we can live righteously, and we can partner with him as, you know, he renews the world. So because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we're in the kingdom. Because he lives, we're in a covenant relationship. All right, so that was just trying to give us some answers to how do we qualify. All right, so, you know, we also did mention when we're saying that any other prerequisites or qualifications in being in a covenant relationship with Jesus Christ. All right, so that's what we're trying to address there. Something I mentioned earlier, and I want to just recap, you know, that as a believer in a covenant relationship with Jesus, all right, in his covenant family, there are some privileges that we enjoy. So believers have covenant rights that are spiritual, physical, and emotional benefits purchased by Jesus. And so it's good that we understand what these covenant rights are that have been purchased for us, okay, by the blood of Jesus, which includes the forgiveness of sins. We have healing, we've got divine protection, prosperity, and authority over the enemy. All right, so this is where the authority that we're talking about comes from. It's one of our covenant rights, it's part of our benefits, it's part of what we take delivery as an inheritance. And so it's good to understand, but just to let us know that the authority and power in the name of Jesus are just one of the many benefits or covenant rights that we have access to as believers. So believers have the right to peace, they have the right to righteousness, righteousness, righteous standing with God, and access to his promises. So these are the things we have access to, and just that we have a good understanding. So when we talk about the authority and power in the name of Jesus, we'll try and look at some clear definitions on both authority, power, so again, some depth of explanation as to what that really entails, you know. But a couple of things just to, while we're here, covenant rights include forgiveness of sins, righteousness, we've been declared the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We've got health and wholeness. We've got the right to be healthy in our body and mind. We've got provisions and prosperity, access to more than enough to meet our needs and to bless others. So we are blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed so that we can bless other people. We've got protection and peace, freedom from fear, and divine safety. It's important that we understand what our covenant rights are, and that we stand in the place to, you know, stand firm on what our convictions are, knowing our rights and being able to take our stand, especially when it comes to waging a good warfare, dealing with the fear that the enemy projects in our direction, which can be paralyzing. It can really cut a little people to be completely, you know, immobile. Yeah, they don't move anymore because they're just stuck in fear, paralyzed by fear. He says, God says, the Bible says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, which is the very nature of God, of power, and of a sound mind. These are what we receive, not fear. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. Again, that's power being reiterated. God has given you power, access to power. God has given you authority to use the name of Jesus. So the authority here is the right to use the name of Jesus and to take authority over the devil. So we're looking at that in more detail. I just wanted to reiterate some of the covenant rights and our privileges that we have. Relationships with God, direct access, we got that. And through prayer, we can come into his presence. We can, you know, bring forth our strong reasons. He says, come up hither, let me show you great and mighty things. So he expects us to come to draw closer, that he might reveal great things through prayer, right? The discipline of prayer. And we also have eternal life as children of God. Okay, so now we know what it takes to qualify to be a son of God, or a child of God, or being God's family. All right, and some of our covenant rights there. I just want to reiterate, it's just me again, our biblical definition of covenants. All right, and these covenants involve promises. Okay, let's look at some of the rights. The covenants involve promises, they involve obligations and blessings. Okay, so they reveal God's desire to partner with humanity in his redemptive plan, despite human failure and despite man's frailty. All right, and so we need to remember that the purpose of the biblical covenant is to deliver these promises, enlighten us about our obligations and the blessings, and to know that God desires that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, so now the next question will be, what does it mean to be in a covenant relationship with God? We've just looked at how we qualify to be in that covenant. So believers qualify to be in a covenant with God through faith, obedience, participation in his promises, and ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I'll take that again. Believers qualify to be in a covenant relationship with God through faith, obedience, and participation in his promises. Okay, ultimately fulfilled in Christ. So let's take this one by one, see what we can cover in the next few minutes. Faith is foundational when it comes to a covenant relationship. A key qualification for entering a covenant with God is faith. You have to have faith in him. Whoever comes to him must believe that he is, that he exists. Okay, and Abraham, for example, was considered a righteous because he believed in the Lord, and his faith was counted to him for righteousness. So faith is foundational in this covenant relationship. Right, the next thing, Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him, you know, for righteousness. We see this in Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. So believe in God's promise and trusting in his character is central to being part of a covenant relationship. So we've dealt with the first, you know, important aspect of being in this relationship. There has to be faith. It is foundational. It's the only means by which you can transact business. Without faith, the Bible says, impossible to please God. Whoever commits to him must believe that he is, and he rewards those who diligently seek him. So for seeking him, for desiring to be in his presence, he rewards you for your diligence. He rewards your consistency. He rewards your discipline. So faith is you believing that God does exist, and the things he said he will do according to scripture he's going to do. Right, so the next thing that we want to look at here, very important, is obedience and commitment. So covenants often involve certain conditions or obligations. In the Mosaic covenant, for example, obedience to God's law was required to maintain the covenant relationship. We saw that exemplified in Exodus chapter 19. And this was the first time where the Lord appeared to the Israelites after being in relationship with Moses and talking with him. He desired to speak with the people, and we think we looked at that extensively in Exodus chapter 19. So we see where they come in there, and he explains to them. So they, I think I did mention one of our series, that one of the things, your first time of having an encounter with God, God is a spirit. It's a supernatural encounter. You're not meeting another human being. So it can be terrifying. It can be out of this world. It just hits you in a way nothing else does, you know. And so we could see that very well exemplified when the Israelites came to the bottom of Mount Sinai and they had to meet with God. They had the thunders, they had the lightning. You can imagine, who is this being, you know? But that's to let you know who it is you're coming to tabernacle with, who it is you're coming before to fellowship, whose presence you stand before. And I think that's so important for us as believers to remember, this covenant relationship is not with Joe Bloke down the road. It's a covenant relationship with the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and the Omega, the governor of the nation, the monarch of the universe, a supernatural deity, you know. He is a loving God, a loving Father, but he's also a consuming fire, you know. So it's just good that we have that understanding. And so that's why we try to use these sessions to really make sure we come to a place of understanding. While some covenants like the Abrahamic covenant was unilateral and unconditional, believers are still called to live in alignment with God's will, demonstrating commitment through our actions. And our moral conduct becomes an integral part of what it means to be in a covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus. Okay, so again, it's good to study these things, because sometimes you see in our world today a lot of people that say a lot of stuff, and the question is, are they living their godly kind of life? Are they living a righteous life? You know, you don't need to just take them at their word. You can look into the lifestyle, you can look into their conduct, you can look into their fear of God, which the Bible says is the beginning of wisdom, and you can tell if that really is a godly man or godly woman. There are people that pray very well and there's nothing godly about them. There are people that can carry out the religious activities and there's still nothing godly about them. So I pray that we'll be discerning in our world, you know, because there's, the Bible talks about false teachers, false teaching, you know, false narratives. They're all over the place. May the Lord open our eyes and grant us understanding of these deep things in Jesus' name. Okay, so we need to, you know, still know that we are called to live in alignment with God's will, demonstrating our commitment in all our actions. All right, the Bible says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. All right, so God demonstrated his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, he sent his son to die. All right, so if we're in a covenant relationship, there's certain attributes, there's certain ways we conduct ourselves, there's certain moral conducts, there's certain boundaries, there's certain rules, principles that govern our lives, and they are important. Okay, and we must, you know, uphold the word of God in everything we do every day, and that's why we need the help of the Lord. Okay, right, so the next important thing here in this covenant relationship, So we've talked about faith is foundational. We've talked about obedience and commitment. Now I want to look at participating in God's promises. So we've seen through the different covenants that always promises is made. So being in a covenant also involves receiving and participating in God's promises. All right. So the Abrahamic covenant promised descendants land and blessings, ultimately fulfilled in Christ. And we see that in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. You can have a look at that in your own study, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. So the new covenant established through Jesus' sacrificial death and resurrection offers forgiveness of sins and a personal relationship with God, okay, making believers part of God's covenant people. All right, so that's how we come into the relationship. And these are the things, when we say what does being in a covenant relationship look like, these are the things that are evident in that relationship. Faith is foundational. You have to have faith in God to believe that he will do what he says he will do. He's going to keep his part of the covenant. You have to be obedient and be committed to be in that covenant relationship. You need to participate in God's promises. So whatever he's asking you to do. One more thing is symbolic and spiritual signs. So most of the covenants had some symbolic or spiritual signs that was, you know, introduced into the covenant, you know. And it was always like, I remember with the Noahic covenant, God gave the rainbow as a sign. Okay, so every time we see the rainbow, it reminds us of God's covenant with Noah. Then we had the covenant with Abraham, you know, had its own significant agreements. So each covenant has certain agreements or certain symbolic, you know, activities that need to be used to identify that particular covenant. So biblical covenants usually include the signs or ceremonies to signify the agreements. So for Abraham, God ratified the covenant through a ceremonial act, okay, involving animals. So animals had to be slain, symbolizing the seriousness of the covenant and God's faithfulness to fulfill this. Again, we have this in Genesis chapter 15, and we can have a look from verses 9 to 17. Genesis 15 from 9 to 17. So in the new covenant, which is the one we have with Christ Jesus, baptism and the Lord's Supper serve as spiritual signs of our participation in God's promise. Okay, so you know, they talked about baptism is an outward sign of an inward reality. So if you believe you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you believe in his death, his burial and resurrection, then you yield yourself for baptism, which is an outward sign demonstrating you being dunked. This is like dying, and when you're being immersed in water, not just sprinkling of water, you're immersed in water, and then it's like his death, and then you're buried in the water, and then you come up, signifies your resurrection in life. So baptism is an outward sign of that inward reality. So everyone in that covenant gets into a baptism, you know, arrangement as proof of their belief, agreements and partnership with God. All right, then the Lord's Supper is another signal, another sign within that covenant. He says, do this as often as you meet, okay, reminding you of my death, my burial and resurrection. So he says, this is my body broken for you, okay, this is my blood. All right, do this as often as you can. It reminds you, it's a constant reminder. Just like the rainbow was there, these tokens, these signs, these signals, these ceremonies are there to remind us consistently, you know, that we are in a covenant relationship. So the Lord's Supper serves as a spiritual sign for participating in God's promises. Okay, so we just wanted to get those very essential information across there. Now, Christ-centered fulfillment. Ultimately, all covenants point to Jesus Christ as the fulfillment of God's promises. All right, so believers enter the right enter the covenant through their faith in Christ Jesus, okay, who secures the promises of God and reconciles humanity back to him. Again, we study Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 and Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. So this faith-based relationship is the defining qualification for being part of God's covenant today. It's a faith-based relationship, all right? And that's what qualifies us. So in summary, believers qualify to be in a covenant with God by faith, which you've discussed, by obedience, by participating in his promises, and with Christ as the central fulfillment of all the covenants, ensuring a personal and enduring relationship with God. All right, so lovely people, it's been a long haul, just trying to help us to understand what covenants are. We've tried to answer a lot of the questions, starting from the beginning, what's a covenant? So we looked at the definition, we looked at a dictionary definition, we looked at the biblical definition, then we looked at our covenant rights, we've looked at what it takes to be qualified to be a child of God in a covenant relationship, we looked at the different covenants, the Noahic covenant, the covenant with Abraham, the covenant with Moses, the covenant with David, and how that climaxes in the covenant we have with Jesus Christ, and how God is the initiator of all of these covenants, trying to bring us into a depth of relationship with his son. You know, I really hope that this has helped us and really given us a better understanding. And so now we'll try and zero in as we come for landing. And our next session, we'll be looking at the authority and power in that name, so that we know how we got here. So we're going to look at the definition of authority. We're going to describe what authority is, why it's different from power. Do we have authority and power? What has been given to us in terms of the biblical promise or the covenant regarding covenants, you know, regarding authority and power? How do we use our authority and power? What are the limits? You know, what is the believer's authority? What access to power does the believer have? You know, how do we fight the good fight of faith? There's a whole lot of other questions we can throw up in the air. So coming to next session, hopefully God willing, him sparing our lives, we'll look at that in more detail. I just want to pray for how far we've got. Father, we want to thank you and bless your name for the things that only you could have done. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit that's been guiding us as we glean through the scriptures. Thank you, Lord, for the references that we've been able to have access to. Thank you for the insight that it has brought to us. I thank you for all our listeners who have tuned in, who have been benefiting from an understanding of their covenant relationship, how they qualify to be in a covenant relationship through Christ Jesus, the significance of the tokens, the Lord's Supper, the baptism, you know, and why that is significant in this climax of a covenant with Jesus Christ, and why Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant as described in Hebrews. Father, we just thank you for the insight. Thank you, Lord, for, you know, the things that only you could have brought us to have an understanding of through this study. We just ask, Lord, that as we go further on the journey, Lord, you will bring us to understand that we do have authority, you know, as a gift to use the name of Jesus, and that we have been given the unction to access power. Bible makes us understand that all power in heaven and in earth belongs to you. You know, so we walk in a relationship with you, and we have authority delegated to us and power through that relationship. And I pray, Lord, that we will become, you know, more enlightened, we will become more aware, we'll be able to stand for our covenant rights, we will learn how to exercise our dominion, you know, to reign and rule even in the affairs of men on this side of eternity as your representatives. And I know that you will not cause us to want to reign or rule without authority and power. And I pray, Lord, that we'll have an understanding why you've given us authority, why we have power in the name of Jesus, so that we can reign, we can represent you, we can be Christ ambassadors, we can wage a good warfare, we can take authority, we can set the captives free, we can bring life, we can bring hope, we can bring light into everywhere that is dark and people where they need inside illumination. Lord, I pray that you would use these teachings, you know, that we have gone through in these past few weeks to really empower our listeners, to strengthen them, Lord, particularly their own covenant relationship with you. Lord, I pray that as one of the things we ask for at the beginning of the year is that, Lord, we can establish the place we meet with you. Lord, help us to rebuild our altars. Help us to be strengthened in our feeble knees. Help us to be strengthened where we've not been prayerful. Help us to recognize that authority and power has been given to us and it is to be utilized. You know, where the purpose of anything is not known, it's open to abuse and misuse. And so, Father, we're asking that through this series, you would use this word. I pray it releases grace to everyone that hears, it ministers to their hearts, and it will release, you know, that grace, that unction, that authority and power you've given to them. I pray, Lord, that everything that's about to die, everything that needs to be revived, everything that needs the impute of your authority and power will find expression in their homes, in their relationships, in their lives, in their careers, in whatever it is they want to do, particularly for those that are stepping into relationships. I pray, Lord, that they will have attributes, they'll have values of the kingdom, and will help them to not just understand that those are what form the shape, the people that they want to interact with. And I pray you will give them that discernment to be able to tell who it is you've prepared for each and every one of them to walk, this covenant relationship, and to be able to fulfill their assignment, to fulfill their purpose on this side of eternity. So, Father, we thank you and we bless your name. We give you all the glory for the things that only you could have done. We give you all the glory for the things that you're still doing. And we want to thank you in advance for what we know you will do. You have begun this great work in our lives. We commit everything about our lives, everything about our growth, our maturity, our understanding, Lord, even to you, that, Lord, you will cause your word in our hearts to spring forth, even like a seed, and to bring forth and deliver to every one of our listeners the desired fruit in their season at the appointed time. In the name of Jesus, I declare everyone that is listening to me blessed. I declare you the righteousness of God. I declare you healed. I declare you a sign and a wonder to your world. You are a blessing to your world. I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen each one of them in the place of prayer, strengthen each one of them in their walk with you, strengthen each one of them in their ability to spend time in your presence, to study, to meditate, to grow from strength to strength. I pray that 2026 will be a powerful year. 2026 will be a fruitful year. 2026 will be a victorious year. 2026, they will be the head and not the tail. They will go from signs to wonders, from one level of glory to another level of glory. Lord, I pray that you will do exceedingly abundantly, far beyond whatever they can ask, think of, or even comprehend, according to your riches in glory. So we just ask, Lord, that today will be a blessing. Lord, today will be an incredible encounter for everyone that's listened to this program, and the days ahead will be from one level of glory to another level of glory. I declare your future prosperous. I declare your future bright. I declare you a shining light. I pray that men and women will come to your rising. Men and women will come to the brightness of your shining. In your family, in your community, you will not be insignificant. The Lord himself will raise you to significance. The Lord will favor your righteous cause. The Lord will cause men and women to give to your bosom, to give you things, you know, to bless you to overflowing, and that you will continue to be a blessing to everyone that come in contact with you. Lovely people, it's been an amazing session today. I just felt led to pray that prayer. I pray it's a blessing. I pray it releases grace to everyone that has heard it. So as you go to the rest of your day, I pray that you take good care of yourselves and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. That's me out for today, and bye for now.
I pray, I pray, I put on my name. There's no way that I can.